what you believe and not what you see. We may be only human, there's another way to be. Don't need God to explain my morality. Can tell what's good and bad without resort to a deity. Made up stories to explain it.
Hello, and welcome to the Agnostic Brothers Podcast. This is Nick, and unfortunately, Jake will not be joining me today. As we've spoken about before on this podcast, Jake and I unfortunately have very different schedules, and it's sometimes hard to find a window of opportunity where both he and I are available to record at the same time. Also, as I mentioned in the last episode, I will be starting back with my classes next week. And I've already decided that I will not be even making an attempt to record a podcast during this next semester, because it's going to be an extremely busy semester for me. And it seems like if I attempt to record a podcast, I usually can't, and this prevents Jake from maybe recording without me or finding another host. Well, Jake and I talked this weekend and figured out that he and I are not actually going to have another opportunity to record before I go back to school, so I decided that I would do one last solo episode before my semester starts, because I had a few things that I wanted to talk about. So, unfortunately, it will be just me this time, but I can guarantee that after listening to this episode, there will be no doubt in anyone's minds that Jake is, in fact, the brains of this operation. So, for those of you listeners who have already shut off your MP3 players and gone to do something else because, hey, what's the point of listening if Jake's not here? Well, kiss my ass. You're not listening anyway. As for those of you that decided to stick around and give it a shot, hopefully I will provide, if not some good information, then maybe a couple funnies here or there. So sit back and enjoy episode 19. The first thing I want to talk about today is just a quick update on what we spoke about during the last episode with regards to Prop 8. The last we reported was that Judge Walker did rule that same-sex marriage should be legal. However, he did put a hold on same-sex marriage until the appeals court was able to hear the case. Well, since then, he did make the decision that gay marriage would be legal until an appeals court said otherwise. Since then, however, the appeals court has said otherwise. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals basically said that they are going to put same-sex marriage on hold until they hear the case. So, this, I think, upset a lot of couples who were going to try to hurry up and get married while they could. So, it's unfortunate for them, but hopefully the decision of the appeals court will go in their favor. The appeals court will hear oral arguments the week of December 6th, so it looks like this hold is going to stay for at least the rest of the year. I did find a little bit of information that I wish I would have found for the last episode. We talked about a lot of the arguments against gay marriage, and unfortunately, that last episode wasn't all that, I guess, well-prepared. Because we do that sometimes. We're not always as prepared as we should be. In fact, we're never as prepared as we should be. But, hey, we can always go back into the episode and be more prepared next time. Anyway, we voiced some of the more ridiculous arguments, and I forgot one that is just so stupid, I have to mention it. What I got this from is MSNBC.com did a reader's poll, and they put comments or posted comments on different people. So one user named Country45 stated, "Marriage has everything to do with religion, if you are religious or not." Not sure exactly how he is getting that. Joyfully Happy stated, "God created marriage, man did not. Government did not. God joined man and woman together in the beginning, and they became one flesh." I had forgotten about that stupid one flesh argument, you know. Even though it has been completely disproven by modern science, DNA testing will show you that a man and a woman do not become one flesh no matter what kind of marriage ceremony they have. People still use this argument. And that brings me to this week's Simpsons moment. Yes, we have been majorly slacking on the Simpsons moments, mainly because it's kind of difficult finding audio from these episodes we want to talk about. So I don't have the audio to play, but I will just recount the episode. This is an episode where Homer was suspected of killing Mr. Burns. I'm sorry, shooting Mr. Burns. Mr. Burns did not die. And the police found out that the murder weapon had Simpson's DNA on it. Now, as it was pointed out, it was just Simpson DNA. It could have been anybody's DNA. And when Marge and Lisa were talking about it, Lisa states, "Well, it could be from any Simpson. Well, except for you. You're a Bouvier." Marge's response was, "No, it could be me, too. When I married your father, I took everything, including his name and his DNA." To which Lisa rolls her eyes and says, "Okay, Mom." So, there you have it. Even the Simpsons, unfortunately, have this belief that when you marry somebody, you take their flesh. But gay people don't do that, I guess. So my question to these people who are stating that marriage is a union under God and not a contract with the state: did you actually get a marriage license with the state when you married? I'll bet you did. Moving on, the latest hot topic in the United States today with regards to religion is the new Islamic Center being built in New York City. I'm sure many of you have heard about this before. It has been all over the news. This Islamic Center is being built. It's just a few blocks away from Ground Zero. It's a 13-story center. It features a performing arts center, a gym, a swimming pool, and, of course, a mosque. And it has been called by some a mega mosque. Now, a bus ad is being run in New York depicting a picture of the burning World Trade Center on one end and the proposed Islamic Center on the other. Pamela Geller, a member of a group called Stop Islamization of America, had to sue New York City's transit agency to get the ad cleared. According to Geller, there initially were objections over the imagery. I guess what had happened was the transit center said, "No, this is offensive, we're not going to put it on." She had to sue, and I'm not sure if it went to court or if the transit company caved. Regardless, they are going to put her bus ad on there, which I agree with. Personally, I don't find the imagery of the World Trade Center being burning nearly as disturbing as her message of intolerance. But, hey, you know what? We have free speech that even includes speech we don't like. So I 100% agree that she should be allowed to put her bus ad up there. And I will post a picture of this bus ad up on our website in our show notes. I doubt anyone's going to have a problem with that. I'm giving them free publicity. Not that many people come to our website, but I will get a picture up there. Geller is quoted as saying, "If just showing an image of 9/11 is offensive, then what is a 15-story mega mosque looking down on the cemetery where they're still finding human remains?" Yes, that's me trying to imitate her New York accent. And some of you may be listening and thinking to yourselves, "Wait a second, Nick just stole that idea of doing accents from Dog of Free America." Well, to you I say, imitation is the highest form of flattery, so kiss my ass. Now, of course, Geller is just a little bit off on her factual information there. Here's a huge shock. The Islamic Center is being built, again, a couple of blocks away from Ground Zero, and it will not be overlooking the site. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg states, "We do not honor their lives by denying the very constitutional rights they died protecting. We honor their lives by protecting their rights and the freedoms that the terrorists attacked." I'm not quite sure if he was talking about maybe the 9/11 victims or possibly the soldiers who have recently died over in Iraq or Afghanistan. But regardless, he does make a good point. All religions are, in fact, protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution, not just the most popular ones. Now, Azim Khan of the Islamic Center of North America also ran ads in city buses and trains to educate people on Islam. Now, he makes the distinction that his ads are promoting tolerance and dialogue, while other ads are promoting fear and hatred. Now, his ads basically feature just Q&As. Q, Islam. A, you deserve to know. Q, Prophet Muhammad. A, you deserve to know. Q, headscarf. A, You Deserve to Know. And it had a phone number. There may have been a website, too, on where to go to get information. So basically just saying, here's what we're about. Come look us up. We can give you some information about us. Now, there are protests, of course, going on in New York City, but it's really, this isn't just a New York issue, this is a nationwide issue. There's also protests in Tennessee, Florida, and Temecula, California, which is a city I used to live in. So here's some of the protest signs you're going to see at these protests. Mosque leaders support killing converts. Tell it. Not sure where they're getting this info from, but you know, I don't think it matters to them. Due process is not intolerant, I'm sure is their means of trying to justify their intolerance. Hey, we can take away someone's rights, it's due process. And people at one protest were wearing t-shirts that stated, Islam is of the evil. Not sure where they get that from. And it's actually kind of funny because they're probably going to talk about evil as being something that's spoken about in their Bible, and of course Islam came about, I believe it was 800 years after their Bible, so not sure where they're coming from. And of course this last one, don't glorify the murders of 3,000. No 9/11 victory mosque. I really gotta wonder, these people honestly must believe that every Muslim in the United States was involved in 9/11. It's ridiculous. I guess we can have radical Christians that we distance ourselves from, but not radical Muslims that other Muslims distance themselves from. Now, not everybody who's opposed to this this Islamic center is opposed to Islam as a whole. Abraham Foxman of the Anti-Defamation League opposes the center on grounds that its presence is insensitive to victims of 9/11 and counterproductive to the healing process. I gotta wonder, though, how many people are going to say they're taking that stance when really they just don't like Islam. Now, again, it is really easy for Christians in the United States to distance themselves from other Christians they don't like. We got a good example of this a few episodes back. We got a listener email who spoke about how at her fundamentalist school, it was really easy to be disqualified from being the right kind of Christian. You know, Catholics aren't Christians because they pray to Mary. Mormons aren't Christians because they alter the Bible. Those guys aren't us. We can distance ourselves from them. And you hear this today. A lot of people are real quick to distance themselves from Catholic priests who have molested children. Well, they're Christians. They're not Christians. They're Catholics. There's a difference. And even other Catholics will say, well, they're not real Catholics. That isn't what our religion advocates. So why can't Muslims do the same thing with the 9/11 terrorists? How come Christians are allowed to distance themselves from pedophile priests, but Muslims are not allowed to distance themselves from terrorists? I mean, do people in this country honestly believe that Osama bin Laden is the Pope of Islam? These attacks were committed for, I think, both political and religious reasons, and not all Muslims agree with them. I think most Muslims in the United States are just as horrified by 9/11 as everybody else. And again, freedom of religion is just that, freedom of religion, not freedom of Christianity. If you want your religious freedoms, you have to give the same freedoms to everybody else. Now, opponents to the mosque have recently tried to get the build site to be declared as a landmark. This, however, was shot down, and developers continue to deny any requests of revising building sites based on sensitivity. Now, President Obama has weighed in on the issue a little bit. He's quoted as stating, "Muslims have the same right to practice their religion as everyone else in this country. That includes the right to build a place of worship and a community center on private property in Lower Manhattan in accordance with local laws and ordinances. This is America. Our commitment to religious freedom must be unshakable." Asked Friday about this issue during his trip to Florida, Obama said, "I was not commenting and I will not comment on the wisdom of making a decision to put a mosque there. I was commenting very specifically on the right people have that dates back to our founding." And Obama's taking a lot of heat for the stance. People are saying he's afraid to address it or afraid to issue his opinion, and I think he did. I mean, he at least addressed his opinion on what matters, and that is these people's constitutional rights. I mean, he is the president and all. He did take an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. He did not weigh in on his personal opinion on whether or not this it's a good idea to build this center, and quite frankly, his personal opinion on whether or not it's a good idea is really irrelevant. I mean, we don't run all churches, or I'm sorry, all building sites of churches by the president before building them. He's taken a lot of heat for this, but quite frankly, I think that he is allowed to take the stance. Now, of course, with elections coming up just a few months away, this whole issue is becoming a campaign issue. No better way to get votes from intolerant Americans than taking the viewpoint that you support their intolerance. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada is facing a difficult election in his home state of Nevada and is the first candidate to feel the heat of this issue. He was prompted to take a position on the contentious issue after his Republican opponent challenged him to either stand with the president or oppose the building of this site. His office released a statement saying, "The First Amendment protects the freedom of religion. Senator Reid respects that, but thinks that the mosque should be built someplace else." Now we have Senator John Cornyn, a Republican from Texas, on Fox News Sunday. I wonder what direction this is going to take. Here's what he said. "It demonstrates that Washington, the White House, the administration, the president himself, seems to be disconnected with the mainstream of America. And I think that's one of the reasons people are so frustrated." Wow. I can't continue because I'm just so shocked that somebody on Fox News said that Obama is disconnected with the mainstream of America. Well, I've got a really quick update on the mainstream of America. The mainstream of America is pretty simple. Everybody loves their civil rights, but they hate it when other people get civil rights. This is why the ACLU takes so much heat. It's not because they defend civil rights, it's because they defend other people's civil rights. It's as simple as that. We want to be able to practice our religion as much as we want, but we don't want people who practice the wrong religion to have the right to practice their religion. So, all in all with this issue, there seem to be two questions that are being asked. Number one, do these Muslims have the right to build their community center? And number two, is it a good idea for them to build this community center? Now, question number one, to me, seems like a pretty easy yes. I mean, the First Amendment of the Constitution clearly states that they have a right to practice their religion. Now, not everybody agrees with this. Especially people who are protesting not just the New York mosque, but other mosques as well. I really don't see what they're basing their protest on. It's actually kind of ironic. These protesters are using their First Amendment rights to attempt to deprive other people of their First Amendment rights. It's laughable. It really is. But this seems to be an extremist point of view and a narrow point of view. Most of the people opposed are opposing on question number two, which is this a good idea? Many people are claiming sensitivity issues, that it's not appropriate to build this mosque this close to ground zero. Now, my question is, how many people who oppose this mosque on the sensitivity issue have in other situations complained about political correctness, stating that political correctness is getting out of hand? Because when you look at it, that's what this is, a political correctness issue. Whenever you talk about sensitivity and how something might be offensive to somebody else or you shouldn't do it, it's political correctness. Hey, I know you have the right to do this, but you shouldn't do it because it's going to offend somebody. We listen to Christians complain about political correctness all of the damn time. Anytime you hear of a store, when we've talked about this in the podcast before, some store advising their employees not to wish Merry Christmas, to just say Happy Holidays, or stores not putting Christmas in their advertising, all these Christians come out, "Well, this political correctness has gotten out of hand. These people should be free to wish Merry Christmas no matter who it offends. Now let me be clear here, this is just speculation. I'm not citing a specific example, mainly because I'm too lazy to look for one. But, I mean, the American Family Association is always bitching about political correctness, and yet I know they are definitely opposed to this mosque. I did see an action item alert by them opposing the mosque. I glanced over it. I forget what exactly they're advising people to do about it. And the reason I didn't go with the AFA on this one, just because there's plenty of information elsewhere about this, and I wanted to look at the more broad view of this and not just one extremist group. But anyway, my point being, this is really a sensitivity issue, and if Jake was here, I feel sure he would say what he has said before: you don't have the right not to be offended. This mosque can offend you all you want, it's still going up because it represents no security risk to the United States, so there's no evidence to show that. Unfortunately, this is going to be a way for Republican candidates to get more votes from scared and ignorant Americans who seem to think that this is an attack on the United States of America. As for this mosque, from everything I've read about it, it looks like that while there is plenty of opposition, there's no real opposition with the ability to stop this from happening, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It looks like this mosque will be built no matter who it pisses off. So, if anybody has any more information about this, or if there's something I missed, some point I missed, or with regards to this issue, please feel free to email. Again, the email address is agnosticbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Moving on, this next story gave me a little bit of a laugh. I got this from a video on CNN.com. I'll post a link in the show notes. Tobias Steinmetz is walking across the country carrying a wooden cross. Tobias is a former Marine who finds it his calling to walk from Los Angeles to his home in South Carolina wearing a robe and carrying a wooden cross. The wooden cross, I think, is about 40 pounds. It's about 8 foot tall. It's fitted with a wheel at the bottom, so he's really rolling it as opposed to carrying it, but most people aren't making that distinction, and I think it's not important to make that distinction either. But again, he feels it's his calling to do this, and you look at the video, and it's hilarious, because he's wearing a robe, like he's supposed to be dressed up like Jesus, rolling this cross down the highway, and he's talking to reporters. He said, "When you're going down the road and you see a guy with a cross, it's a reminder of your faith." I think that would be assuming that you are a Christian, that it would be a reminder of your faith. If you're not, then it's a reminder of somebody else's faith, and what the hell is this dude doing? So if you get a chance, look at the video. It's kind of funny. And apparently he's gotten a lot of support. That he said he was afraid that he'd be wandering around not knowing how he was going to eat, and he said he's never missed a meal, and he's had plenty of people offer to put him up at hotels or let him stay with them. So kudos to him. I guess I'm kind of trying to figure out what the point is, but hey, if Forrest Gump can run back and forth across the country 5 times, maybe this guy needs to do this. So I guess it's time for some church signs. It's normally this is the Jake thing. Most of the church signs come from Jake. Occasionally I do see one, and I write those down, and we talk about mine occasionally. But I wouldn't want to deprive anybody of their church signs just because Jake is not here, so I will do a couple. The first one I saw is, "Be an organ donor. Give your heart to Jesus." And again, this is the same shit we see before, where they try to take something that is good and has good connotations and associate that with their church. In this case, being an organ donor. Hey, organ donor, that's good. We like that. We're going to associate that with giving your heart to Jesus. Of course, being an organ donor actually does some good for other people in the community, whereas giving your heart to Jesus, I guess we could argue that it might do some good for this person. I can't disprove that it does good for a person, but there's not much evidence to show that it does any good for anybody else. So why don't we let the organ donors be the heroes and let the people who give their church or give their hearts to Jesus just be regular Christians. Now, this next church sign is odd for a couple reasons. Number one, I did not personally see it, and neither did Jake. Now, we're pretty good about when we present church signs, we only present church signs that one of us has seen personally. I think we have a lot of integrity when it comes to our church signs. Unfortunately, there are church signs floating around on the internet that have been photoshopped. They're not real church signs, and those are usually the funniest ones. But we don't want to report a church sign that is not actually a church sign, if that makes any sense. So, however, this one, I saw it on CNN.com, and I did find the church's website, and I have every reason to believe that they are legit. The second oddity of this one is I actually like it. I'm not making fun of it. I agree with it. This church sign comes from Wantagh, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Wantagh Memorial Congregational Church in Wantagh, New York. The church sign states, "Thanks, Judge Walker, marriage equality is a civil right." That is really odd to hear, so kudos to you wonderful people at Wantagh Memorial Christian Church. It's actually very nice to see some people actually willing to support civil rights with regards to what their religion states. And maybe their religion does okay gay marriage or homosexuality in general, but that is kind of an oddity within Christianity. So, that about does it for this episode. It's a short one. It's a lot harder to get sidetracked when it's just myself. So, looks like I've only got about half an hour for you, but hopefully I packed it full of good information. And again, I will not be around until Thanksgiving break. Hopefully, at least on Thanksgiving break, Jake and I will find time to record an episode. And hopefully between now and then, Jake will be able to come out with some good info for you, either by himself, which he has said he might try to do, or maybe he can get a guest host. I know Jimmy, I'm sure, would be happy to join Jake for an episode, and we have had other people offer to host as well. If you want to reach us, again, our email address is agnosticbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Our website is www.agnosticbrotherspodcast.com. We can be reached on Facebook. We have a MySpace group, but nobody has shown any interest in there, and I very rarely check it myself. I'm hardly on MySpace, neither is Jake. But we do have a Facebook group. Just go on to Facebook and search Agnostic Brothers Podcast. You'll find us. We have had a couple new members to the Facebook group since our last episode. So for new members, welcome and thank you for the support. Or maybe you're just joining the group because you don't like us. Either way, thank you for joining. We always like to have new members there. So if you want to join the group, feel free. We have open membership. And if you want to friend either Jake or I on Facebook, we do accept friend requests from podcast listeners. So until the next episode, remember to keep asking questions. Children into fools!